Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day, and it's good to be here with you to share in worship and study God's Word together. If you'd like to open a Bible, we have Bibles in the chairs, or if you have your Bible with you, open it to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 11 today. That's where our scripture will be. We're going to read that in a moment. Before we do, I'm going to share just a couple of thoughts, announcements, celebrations, those types of things. First of all, very much appreciate all that Mr. Wayne is doing with our operations. Did y'all see that pretty steeple up on top of the church today? He got that power washed, and it looks beautiful. So I want to celebrate that. It's awesome. Wayne, speaking of Wayne, he's also doing something called, he's calling the, what is it, Wayne? Just the Great Purge, he says. I would just draw your attention to the bottom bullet, and there's like a sheet of paper in your bulletin. You can read about that. He's just asking if there's anyone who might feel led to help with that. He would love that, and we very much appreciate it. I want to celebrate Awana. And we're getting ready to have our family night this Wednesday night. And then we're launching Awana the week after that. Mike, where are you, Mike? Let me see. Where's Mike? That's okay. That's all right. I just so much appreciate his ministry and his leadership. And I would imagine that if you felt led to help out with Awana, you would just make his day. Awana is a beautiful ministry that helps put the Word of God into kids' hearts and their minds. And I've seen God work through that ministry. And if you would like to be a part of that, really what it takes is for you to be willing to sit and listen to kids share Scripture and help them memorize that Scripture. And I think it's just a wonderful ministry. So I just encourage you to pray about that. Maybe the Lord's leading you to be a part of that. If you look on the back side of this sheet, I pointed to the bottom bullet, but if you look on the back, you'll see some open volunteer positions, opportunities to serve. I would just encourage you to read through that. See how the Lord leads you to be a part of things. And then the last thing I want to share, and then one other announcement is this. We're going to have a child dedication on August 30th during the worship service. And so if you would like to take part in that, if there's you got a kiddo that you would like to just say, Lord, we're going to raise this kid to know you and serve you, and we want to do that to the best we can, that's what that service is kind of for. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, just let the office know, and we'll make sure we're ready for that. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Okay. I have another announcement I need to share. I want to say thank you to Dr. Harrison. A couple weeks ago, he preached. I thought he did a fantastic job just reminding us that we can come to the Lord with our needs. Isn't that funny? Sometimes when life gets kind of a little bit hectic and you forget that you can go to the throne and say, God, I need you. And you can come to him when you're heavy laden and burdened. You come to him, and he hears our prayer. Isn't that an amazing thing, church? Just curious. Yeah, I thought he just had a wonderful message. And then Mr. Mike Jensen, thank you for preaching last week. And I think we can go ahead and thank Mike since he's sitting here. Let's go ahead and give him some appreciation. Let's do that. And so now I get to preach. Wonderful. Most of you know that I'm in the Missouri Army National Guard, and I served there as a chaplain. Actually, that's where I was for the last week. One other thing. I want to praise God for that marriage retreat we had a couple Sundays ago. So I wasn't playing hooky that Sunday, I promise. I was with them. All right. I want to thank the whole team that put that on. Really appreciate you all. Okay, yeah. That'll work. Good. All right. So many of you know, and most of you know, I'm a chaplain in the Missouri Army National Guard. And this morning, I need to share with you that that I believe I'm going to be going on deployment don't do too much. It's okay. And that deployment is, I can't share very much information. in a public setting. But here's what I want to share with you. It looks like it's going to be starting around the first of the year, right around, I can't say specific dates at this point, and it's going to be a 9-month deployment. Yeah. As far as I know. How many of us are prior service in here? I'm just curious. You can raise your hand. How many of you know that just because the Army says something, it doesn't mess? Yeah. And the Air Force. Is the Navy the same way? I'm just curious. Marine Corps? I don't know. I'm fairly certain that this is going to happen at this point. And so I went ahead and shared that with our deacon body. And we talked, and I wanted to share a couple of things this morning, just in terms of a way forward, in terms of how we need to think about this, how we need to process it. I want to give you that information. Around the first of the year, be back probably in October, would be the general timeline. I can't speak specifically about where I'm going, however, it will be overseas. And so there'll be a bit of a time difference there. I want to share just a couple of thoughts, because I'm sure you have a few questions. Do you have any questions? I'm just curious. Okay. First, I want to share this. In terms of our family, just know that we're doing okay. We're talking it through and preparing and thinking and just thinking about, you know, what the next year looks like for us. For this, I really covet your prayers and for us. And then secondly, for us, for the church. Like I said, I spoke with the deacon body, we've talked about it, and kind of talked through maybe a way forward. In our governing documents, there is the way that we would typically choose an interim, because that's what we would do. By the way, I feel very much called to serve here as the pastor. And I feel very much, if you'll have me back, I'd like to come back and continue to do that. Okay. All right. So that necessitates an interim pastor. And as we were talking about that, there was one name that came to our mind, and it was Gary Mathis. He's our director of missions. He has served here. He knows us. And so it was unanimous from the deacon body to propose and to put his name forward to the church to vote on as an interim to serve here. And of course, there'll be more conversation around that. But the intent would be that he would come, he would preach, he would be available for the church council and serve as a chair for that, and also be available for deacons' meetings and just provide general guidance to the church. While I'm serving overseas. My recommendation is that we would vote on him or have that conversation about that in our next business meeting. So we have an annual business meeting coming up the last Sunday of September. That's our typical business meeting. And that way we would have a plan in place and we know kind of where we're going. And also just know this. This is about us discerning together in terms of whether we all believe this is the right fit. So know that. So that as we put a name forward, we can have conversation and that type of thing. But I'll share this from my perspective. I think Gary would be a wonderful fit for us. So that's in terms of for the church. I want to speak briefly on our mission. So here's how I'm seeing it. I see myself as answering a call to serve overseas as a missionary for that 9 months that I'm gone. I'm actually endorsed by the North American Mission Board as a missionary, as a chaplain with the military. So the way I see this is I believe in a sovereign God who puts us where he wants us, and I believe God's calling me on mission to go and do this. And here's what I want to say for us as a church. Our mission doesn't change. I believe that God has called us to love him, love God, what? Love people, and what? Make disciples. And I don't believe that mission changes. So here's my heart for the next season. I want to continue to lead us to do that. I believe a door is open downstairs. That's the sound you're hearing. Could we have somebody checked on that? Or is there an alarm going off? And the alarm has stopped. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Good, good, good. So here's what I've seen over this last season, and I think you all have probably seen it too. I've seen God moving here. I see folks getting baptized. I love the fact that he's bringing us, you know, drawing people here, families and individuals, and I want to keep doing that. And so my heart is, as your pastor, I'm gonna serve with all my heart until God, okay, now I got to go do this thing, and then I'm going to come back, and I want to continue serving. And I want to encourage you. If you're a ministry leader, I want to, let's keep putting those steps forward. Let's keep praying, thinking about ministry. Let's press forward into God's mission for us. Yeah. So that's my heart on that. I know I didn't answer all the questions, and this is a kind of a thing to kind of, okay, now we can start praying and think about it together. But I want you also to know, please don't hesitate to reach out either by phone or make an appointment or just drop into the office. I'd love to talk to you more if you have any questions. There's certain aspects when you're, and Sunday morning's an interesting place to talk about operational security. But have you ever heard that loose lips sink ships? So there's going to be certain times where I can share a little bit, but there's going to be a lot of time where I keep it very general. But what you need to know is that my calling, I'm going to serve as a chaplain. I'm going to be doing chaplain things. I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be ministering to soldiers who are also going. And so that's God's call on my life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for allowing me to share that. And I believe God is in control. I believe he's sovereign. And I believe we can trust him. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's word. This is Ephesians chapter 2. This is going to be verses 11 through 22. And I'm going to try to share briefly this morning. We're also taking communion, but there's such a rich message here. I've entitled this message, He is Our Peace. I believe there's peace when you come to Jesus, when you surrender your life to him, when you trust him. There's peace between us and God, and here's the thing. God can bring peace between me and you and the person sitting next to you, and your brother and sister in Christ. There's a message here. Here's the word of God. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the Christ, through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let me pray. Would you join me? Father, we love you. We're so grateful, Lord, for this opportunity to look into your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to read your word and then to apply it. Lord, as I think about these ones in front of me now, I think about ones who have physical pain. I think about ones who have emotional and spiritual pain. I think about ones who are living in doubt and anxiety and fear. Lord, I think about the ones who woke up this morning and it was the best day they've had for a long time. God, I know that there are those who are weeping and those who are laughing. And this morning I pray that as we look into your word, I pray that you would meet us here. I pray that you would allow us to concentrate our thoughts to where we would hear your word and we would have a heart to apply it. I pray you bless this time now as we study your word together, as we seek you together. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. So let's begin with this. All right. That's the song we're singing later. All right. Let's begin with this. And I'll be sure to, I got 4 points today. And if you're following the outline, I'll make it clear when we come to those points. Where Jesus is, there's peace. Have you ever experienced this where you're going on in your world? You're maybe getting a little distracted by different things. You got some idols that maybe you've raised up and now they're captivated your attention. Have you ever been in a place where you are, you've just kind of wandered away from where Jesus is, so to speak, and you're just kind of doing your own thing? I can tell you 10 out of 10 times when you come to that place, you will not have peace. Anywhere where you're leaving Jesus behind, you're leaving peace behind. He is our peace. Man, and if you want peace, he's the one we go to first. He's the center. He's everything. Jesus is our peace. And where he is, there's peace. If I could just leave that there and say, let's pray. I mean, I think that would be a benefit. That would be beneficial to just take that thought. The topic we're looking at today is how Jesus makes it possible for us to be at peace with one another. So if you were to go to the verses above this, and Mike did such a fantastic job of working through that passage, it's by grace through faith we're saved, it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. We have peace with God through Jesus, amen? Amen. So then take that, and I love how practical this is, because not only do we have peace with God, God makes it possible through Jesus to have peace with one another. He is in the business of tearing down walls. There is a wall that was there. If you were to go into the Old Testament and you read about how God had his special people, and there was a law, and there was a law given to them. And part of this covenant relationship that God had with his people, he said, listen, you follow my law, you stay near to me, I'll take care of you, and there's going to be this wonderful covenantal relationship. And there is a clear distinction. One of the reasons, or one of the principal reasons, God gives the law to Israel is to create a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. God had his special people. God also came and to his special people, and when he's making this covenant with them, the intent was not just that they would hold on to this incredible truth about the one true God to themselves. They were going to be blessed by God, and they were meant to be a blessing to others. But something happened, especially in the first century. We'll call it this way, there was the form of religion without the substance. There was a sense where the Jews were trusting in the idea that they had the law and they were God's special people, but they did not have a relationship with God. And they took that idea of being God's special people, and watch this, and they took upon themselves this idea that they were better than the Gentiles. They were better because they were, let's see, from a covenantal perspective, they had the mark of circumcision, they had the law, they had the rules, and they looked down on those dirty Gentiles because they saw them as, well, they called them dogs. And the Apostle Paul now, to the church of Ephesus, is coming to them and saying, listen, Jesus changes everything. And you don't get, when you come to Christ and you're sitting next to each other within the body of Christ, like, there is no distinction anymore. There's no sense that one's better than another or one's less than another. Watch, God is in the business through Jesus of tearing down every wall between us. And that's what this passage is all about. Look with me in verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So if you're following along in your outline, we might begin with this. The first thought is we need to remember who we were before Christ, who we were. Here, he's talking to these Gentiles. He said, remember, you weren't part of that covenant promise. Now, with Jesus, this is one of the beautiful things about Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus didn't just come for the Jews? He came for you, right? Yeah, he came for what? He came for all who would believe. Yeah, it's not based on your race or ethnicity or your background or your socioeconomic status or whatever walls or methods of division that we can think up as our sinful humanity. No, Jesus came for anyone who would believe. The scripture says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. And here Paul is saying, you need to remember who you were. These Gentiles, they were called uncircumcised. The New Living Translation says it this way, a little bit of a paraphrase. It says, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. We need to remember who we were. Secondly, if you're following along in your outline, through Christ, we are brought near to God and one another. Through Christ, we are brought near to God and one another. Look with me in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Now that the Gentiles remembered where they came from, they can worship God for how he's saved them. In Christ, the ones who are far off have been brought near. The Jews would talk in this language. The Jews would talk about these ones who are far off from God. That was common terminology. And Paul is saying this. This is how you've been brought near. So this is a key idea. How are we brought near to God? That's a really good question. How are we brought near to God? Now, there's a lot of answers to that, isn't there? Well, one of the answers could be, well, here's how I'm brought near to God. I was brought near to God because I attend church. I'm near to God because I've checked the box of the different religious responsibilities that are a part of this church. And this passage would remind us that the way that you're brought near to God is not by your outward actions, it's through the blood of Jesus. This is a fundamental understanding for Christianity. If you are trusting in yourself, if you're trusting in the fact that you're following the rules and you're not trusting in the blood of Jesus, there's a problem. There's a problem. And here we see it's the blood of Jesus that brings us near. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one. That has made us both one. Here's the deal. The ones that Paul is speaking to, these Jews, they had spent their whole life being taught to hate the Gentiles. And now this radical idea is that through Jesus, the Jew and the Gentile are going to be one. I don't know if you've ever been in a racially charged circumstance or if you've ever been in a place where there are some deep divisions between individuals. I lived in a small town for a while. You ever been around in a small town where some families maybe aren't getting along? And it's like generational. Like people don't even remember why it is that we hate each other. We just hate each other. We can't stand to be around each other and that type of thing. It's like, and it's just deep type of fissures that just develop between people. In a moment, we're going to take communion. And I read the story that I believe comes out of Africa. And the missionary was there, and they were having the Lord's Supper together. And there's two different tribes in that area. And one tribe, the way that they would kind of earn their credibility as a man is they'd have to go over and maybe kill somebody else in this other tribe. And there's a blood feud that's just going on and on and on and on. And this missionary just stood back and watched as these two tribes that had been killing each other for generations, or as far as they can remember, now we're sitting next to each other taking the Lord's Supper together. And they remember it's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that allows us to come near to God and allows us to come near to one another. God is in the business of tearing down the walls. Through Christ, we're brought near to God and to one another. When you put your faith in Jesus, think about it like this. Before you put your faith in Jesus, there's a war happening between you and God. You're at enmity with God. You put your faith in Jesus, now that war comes to an end, because Jesus has paid the price for your sin. And now, because you're at peace with God, now you can be at peace with others. I'm going to continue reading in our passage. Verse 15, it says, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Here's a third thought. We are brought near because the commandments have been abolished. And you're like, ooh, what does that mean? Well, I'm just taking it out of the text. Let's talk about it. Jesus did, he brings us near by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Those commandments expressed in ordinances included these: feasts, sacrifices, offerings, laws of cleanliness and purification, and other outward commandments that ensured the separation of Israel from other nations. Do you remember I said that? When God made his covenant with Israel, he gave them the law and said, here's, you follow the law. This is going to create a separation between you. You're going to be my special people. Remember that? Now, Jesus now has died for our sins. And he's saying this, listen, now it's not about following the ritual of that law anymore. It's about following Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the law for us. And because of his work on the cross, now we follow him. We trust in him. We serve him. David Guzik has a little commentary I like, and he writes this. The source of contention between Jew and Gentile was the fact that the Gentiles did not keep the law. But since Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf, and since he bore the penalty for our failure to keep the law, we are reconciled through his work on the cross, putting to death the source of contention. I think about Peter as he's up on the roof, and God shows him this sheet of all these animals, and
He says, kill and eat. And Peter's like, no, 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 I'm a good Jew. I don't eat unclean things.
And then some representatives from a certain man named Cornelius showed up. And God said, go, preach. This is a rough telling, okay? Don't judge me. And here's what I want you to hear. And then Peter shows up and he preaches, and something incredible happens. Do you remember what it was? The Holy Spirit fell on that group of folks. And then the early church had this light bulb moment. What? Like the church, like we're not trying to make little Jews out of, like we're not trying to make Jews out of everybody. No. We're trying to lead people to Jesus. And when we preach Jesus, then the Holy Spirit falls. And now God is building his church, not just from one people, like not just from the Jews, but from every tribe and nation and tongue in the world. What an incredible idea. What an incredible mandate for missions. So we're brought near, and Christ has established peace between Jews and Gentiles by removing the cause of the hostility, by imparting a new spirit indwelt nature, and by creating a new union, the body of Christ. Watch this. The cross of Christ is God's answer to racial discrimination, segregation, anti-Semitism, bigotry, and every form of strife between men. Why? Because we're going to the very root of the issue. We start with this contention. Every person is made in the image of God and has value before God. And we move to the cross and we realize that, oh, this is how much God loves every single person. This is how he demonstrates his love for us. He went to the cross. Jesus went there, and his blood now reconciles us to God. When we put our faith in Jesus, if God loves everybody that much and places that much value in every single person, how dare you place yourself above another? So this is a point of, oh, Lord, help me check my heart. Help me get to a place where I see people the way you see them. Can I say something else on that? Oh, God, help me see myself the way that you see me. You are incredibly loved. I saw some of you singing that song earlier today, I Am a Friend of God. I have to admit, over the years, that song, I love that song. Thank you, Sarah, for picking that song. But there's been times where I've made fun of it. She's like, yeah, I know. Not because I hate it, but what I'm saying is when you kind of sing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. We didn't, thank you. I'm just doing my best to dig myself out of this hole now. But what I love is this truth. Hear me say this. You are a friend of God. And he is not against you. He's for you. And he loves you. And you have incredible value. That's what I want you to hear. You have incredible value. And by the way, that person sitting next to you has incredible value too. Right? Old commentator writes it this, his name's Barnes. He says that reconciliation, this idea of reconciliation, this is where we're going to next, verse 16. I'll read the verse and then I'll read what Barnes says. He says, So by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Might reconcile us both to God in one body. Here's what Barnes says. He says, this idea of reconciliation was another of the effects of the work of redemption, and indeed the main effect. It was not merely to make them harmonious, but it was that both who had been alienated from God should be reconciled to him. This was a different effect from that of producing peace between themselves, though in some sense the one grew out of the other. They who are reconciled, listen to this. They who are reconciled to God will be at peace with one another. They will feel that they are the same family and are all brethren. Here's the deal. If you got a problem with somebody, you need to realize your first problem is with God. You need to be at peace with God. Is there sin in this situation? Is there brokenness in this situation? If you're just trying to do the horizontal thing and say, okay, I'll just grin and bear it and we'll just get along. No. First, be at peace with God. Reconcile yourself with God. And watch this. And especially in marriage or with any relationship, here's the deal. I like to think of like a triangle. If both of you are getting closer to God and you're going, you're like, you're over here. I know this is a great illustration. God's up here. And if you're getting closer to God and you're getting closer to God, at some point, you're going to get closer to each other. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. This is the work that God can do, and I want to share this. It's rooted in the cross of Christ and the blood of Jesus shed for us, and how we see God, how God sees us, and how God sees each person. I'm going to go to verse 17 now, if you'll follow me. It says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. You're no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." And here we see a picture of what the church truly is, of who we are in Christ. I love the analogy here of a temple. Did you know that individually, watch this, individually we are temples of God? How does that work? Well, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Do you know that's one of the reasons why you're not meant to defile yourself sexually or join yourself to others or and do things that are promiscuous or do, you know, this is Paul's thoughts in his letter to the Corinthian church. There's reasons why we want to take care of this body. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You're a child of God. You don't want to join yourself in a situation that you're inviting God along for the. Does that make sense? You don't want to do that. Can I say this? Each one of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And then as we come together corporately, we are the body of Christ. And as the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you and you and you and within me, now we can look at ourselves as a temple of the living God. And his Spirit is here. Why? Because his Spirit's in you. Amen? Yeah. So that's our last thought. We are built together into a dwelling place for God. We're fellow citizens and saints, members of the household of God. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the one who gives direction and holds it all together. And we follow him. I think it'd be appropriate today to share an army story, if that's okay. Out of this story comes out of, I believe, World War II. And overseas, some buddies had lost a comrade. He had passed away as a part of the conflict, and they were trying to find a place to bury him, and they came to a cemetery. The problem was that the cemetery was a Catholic cemetery, and their buddy was not Catholic, and so they went and asked the priest nicely. They said, would it be okay if we buried our friend here in this cemetery? And the priest said, no, I'm sorry, I can't let you do that because he's not Catholic. And the friend said, okay. There was a fence around the cemetery. And what they did is they went right up to next to the fence, and they said, we can't bury him in the cemetery, but let's bury him next to the cemetery because we want to be able to find where he was buried later on. And so they did. They went home. They come back the next day. And they can't find where they buried their friend. And they go and talk to the priest. They say, we don't know what happened here. And the priest said, here's what happened. I woke up last night, And I prayed. And I didn't think it was right that I not allow you to bury your friend. So I got up in the middle of the night and I moved the fence. The best way I can say it is God is in the business of moving the fence. And we are one in Christ. And we have to be so careful about how we build walls between each other. But know that God has done all that's necessary to bring down the wall between you and him through sending his son Jesus. And Jesus died on that cross for the sins of the world. And what you need to hear is that he died for you personally. Scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in this, we're all there. But if we believe in Jesus and trust in him for the forgiveness of our sin, there's forgiveness of sin based upon his work on the cross for us. Trust in Christ. Surrender your life to Christ. You can find peace in Christ if you'll surrender your life to him. It could be that you've called yourself a Christian for a long time, but you don't have peace. I want to tell you that if you will surrender your life to Christ, like rededicate, like do whatever, like whatever in your heart needs to shift to where you've been walking in disobedience, repent of that, turn to Christ, and there is peace available for you. You can trust him in any circumstance. You need to hear that today. Like the wall that's between you and God today, like God has already made a way for that wall to come down if you'll trust in Christ. And trust in the blood that was shed for you. So that's my heart for you this morning. So I'd like to have a time of invitation after that. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. But if, would you bow your heads with me and maybe just close your eyes and let's go to the Lord together. And so, Father, I pray for each person here. I pray, God, that you will move in power. I know that you know every heart, you know every mind, you know every thought. There's nothing that's hidden from you. And we all are sitting here completely. We are an open book to you. So I pray that you do this work of drawing us to yourself. And whatever needs to happen would happen right here in this moment. Lord, as we lay our needs before you, as we surrender our lives to you, I pray where there needs to be comfort, you'd bring comfort. Where there needs to be conviction, you'd bring conviction. Where there needs to be reconciliation, there would be reconciliation. Where there would be a total surrender to you and trusting in you for this day and the days to come, it would happen. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that they would pray today to put their faith in him. So right now, if you don't know Christ, and you need to pray this prayer. Pray it with me right now. You say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I've sinned, and I'm a sinner before you. And I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried and rose from the dead. And this morning, I confess you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and as my Savior. And I want to follow you from this day forward. If you prayed that, that's your first step as a follower of Jesus, and we want to encourage you, don't leave here without letting somebody know. And so, Father, now I pray that you would bless this time of the Lord's Supper, the taking of the Lord's Supper. I pray you bless this time of response now. And as we sing, I pray that you would meet us here. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.